So bringing you the energies of New Orleans, where I'm in, where I'm located at the moment. Visiting my mother for Mother's Day and wishing everybody a happy Mother's Day, right? It's not just this kind of narrow view sometimes of motherhood, of birthing. Really, we birth projects, we birth beautiful creations all the time, poetry, many things. And we nurture so much. We nurture people, we nurture ourselves, we care for our inner child. Certainly, a mothering. If we would all take care of our inner child, it would be probably a different world. So happy Mother's Day to all of us, and may we continue to first of all be a mother to ourselves. And to those who have birthed some child, congratulations and happy Mother's Day for that as well. I wanted to share today about the quote that was posted with the announcement that went out for this sit on this true love, meaning understanding. Because I think sometimes we wonder if we can then truly love, because we often don't understand each other. The quote in our announcement, I'll put it in the chat just as a reminder. And I'll share it verbally. In Buddhism, we learn that understanding is the very foundation of love. If understanding is not there, no matter how hard you try, you cannot love. If you say, "I have to try to love that person," this is nonsense. You have to understand them, and by doing so, you will love them. One of the things I have learned from the teaching of the Buddha is that without understanding, love is not possible. If a husband and wife, or two partners, do not understand each other, they cannot love each other. If a parent and child do not understand each other, they will make each other suffer. So understanding is a key that unlocks the door to love. So I think we sometimes think, wow, okay, how do I ever understand someone? Because also the teachings tell us that we can't really understand someone until we understand ourselves. And so that's also something we feel, well, how do we love anyone then? Because we're still on this path of trying to understand ourselves. The teaching suggests that when we understand ourselves, we understand everyone. So that's a really deep teaching. And it's a teaching that allows us to maybe realize love in a deeper way for ourselves and then for others. So what does it mean to deeply understand? So when we think about understanding, the what is being suggested is the big view of understanding, which comes back to the deep teachings of the Noble Eightfold Path, which comes back to the Four Noble Truths. So we've talked about the Four Noble Truths as the deepest teaching, the first teaching the Buddha offered after his enlightenment. Suffering exists. It's kind of or illness, ill being or stress exists, right, in the world. That's the first truth. The second one is that we, and there's always a duty to the truth. So we have to acknowledge that suffering or ill being or stress exists. And then we have to let go, abandon the path. Second one, abandon the path that goes to suffering or the ill being or the distress or the dis-ease. And then the third is we have to realize the cessation of suffering or ill being or stress or dis-ease. And then we have to cultivate the path to that realization of non-suffering, non-stress. And so then in that fourth noble truth, there's eight ways you can do that, eight ways that you can develop this path. And that's called the Noble Eightfold Path, right? So there's the four noble truths. And then the fourth truth, there's this Noble Eightfold Path that leads you there. And one of those noble, of the, one of those behaviors, characteristics, learning of that Noble Eightfold Path is right view. So the understanding is that we have to have the right view of this world. And what's the right view? The right view is acknowledging that everything is in the three characteristics, everything is impermanent. There is, and this leads us to suffer because we want this thing and we want it, and it's bringing us joy and we want it to stay the same. But it's going to change at some point. But we cling to it and then we suffer because of that. So when it changes, we suffer. And then we have this sense that it's a solid entity. It's just that we don't recognize often that it's made up of many things, many conditions that have come together for that, that one thing that we see occurring. We think it's just that. So we see a person, they bring us joy. We just see that. We don't realize that the person manifests in that way because of many conditions that have brought them to show up in that way. And that when those conditions aren't there sufficiently that come together for that person to manifest in that way, they're not going to manifest in that way anymore. And so because we kind of cling to things as a solid entity, not having the deeper understanding that this is actually made up of many things. It's a solid, this is a solid person, a solid self. I'm a solid self. We forget that I'm here in this body, in this form, due to many conditions. But we think, oh, it's just me, it's I, and we get stuck there. And so the right view is understanding that really that's really the way this life is. And when we start to understand that view, what we call the right view, we start to see the world and interpret the world in a completely different way. Now this view, getting to this view is getting to right understanding. Okay, so what's that got to do with true love? Well, when we start to understand ourselves in this way, with this view, that things are going to change, nothing is solid, it's made up of many different conditions that we don't even realize at times. When we start to understand that, we really then beginning to have right understanding. And when we start to have and see ourselves in this way, we understand that we manifest in this way, right? So practically, I have a busy day. I'm going to show up differently. The conditions around the morning, the afternoon, the busyness of the schedule, not having my scheduled yoga or my scheduled meals, all these things are different conditions that make me manifest or show up in a certain way. Well, how often in the midst of that moment are we able to note, I'm going to show up in this way because all these other conditions were the way they were today? And we can go to the other extreme, didn't have to have a meeting at 9 or get somewhere at 9, got to sleep in a little late, got to do our sitting, our yoga, or Qigong, whatever, our walk, made ourselves a wonderful time, mindfully prepared breakfast, got to play with the cat, or, you know, water the plants, chat with our partner, talk with our family or friends. We show up with the neighbor in a completely different way. So all those conditions before is what come together and determines how we're going to manifest in any moment. Now, when we start to understand ourselves like that, we start to have so much more patience and understanding and kindness toward ourselves. And so when we say something, or we're about to say something, we have this full understanding, okay, it's been a really busy morning, let me take extra breaths before I say something. Yeah, because we understand and we are mindfully noting our day, our evening. And if we're really aware, we will see the way we manifest differently. If we had pain in the morning, that pain body is still with us by the afternoon, we are going to show up with a different energy than if we didn't have that pain body or that pain wasn't still with us. So all these causes and conditions, it helps us understand at any moment how we show up. Our history, our social identities, our racial identities, the whole history around what this body has engaged in its short time on this earth, in this form, helps to determine how we interpret an experience that we have. So I, in this body, in this form, I can hear something or someone can say something, and I will interpret it in a certain way because I have a whole history in me that maybe haven't been healed. I have some pain and trauma that hasn't been healed and fully taken care of and transformed, right? That's part of my pain body, yeah? And so when I hear something because of this body and what it has experienced, I'm going to hear certain things. I'm going to attach to certain phrases and words. I'm going to pick up on an intonation that someone with a different set of experiences would not have picked up on, right? So let's take race, you know, as bodies, black bodies, brown bodies, when we hear certain things because of our history and our experience, because of the way we've been brought up, because of our own loved ones and families and friends and their lived experience, when we hear certain words or things, there's something in our body that can get activated. Yeah. But as a non-BIPOC bodied person, as a white bodied person who doesn't have that experience, who hasn't lived in that body, that kind of body, who hasn't heard words, who doesn't have a generational history where that body has imprinted, can hear the same exact word spoken by the same exact person, and these two embodied beings will respond differently. And knowing this, this is what right understanding is. Because then we start to know, I understand why I responded in this way. Or for many of us, it's a reaction. Yeah. Because we haven't taken the time to know ourselves, to know that when something like that is said, it's going to activate us. And so can we understand that and take that all into consideration and respond with that, acknowledging that history. Yeah. And it doesn't mean that the response may be any different. What it does mean is that the emotion, the root, the bed of the response, it's the response, if it's a verbal response, it's coming out of a different bed. It comes out of a bed of understanding. Because now I understand, I'm responding like this because of my history of this, my history of abuse, my history of in this particular situation, my heart's constricting, my body's tightening. And then we can take care of that. Now that's what true love is. True love is having taken the time to fully understand ourselves, or being on a path where we are slowly understanding and transforming. And so not only are we understanding, we are loving ourselves more. We don't get angry at ourselves. We don't call ourselves impatient. We don't call ourselves all the words that come to our mind when we do things that we think negatively of ourselves, when we act out of our rage, when we're mad at ourselves for getting mad again, yeah? Or when we get upset because we're getting impatient at ourselves. And so when we have this deeper understanding of ourselves, we see why. And when we see and understand, there's no space for that anger, that impatience. Because we understand, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm acting like this because of this. It's still there, okay. Got to work on that. Going to take care of that. Or I'm just going to be with that. I'm just going to hold that. That's part of me too. And I'm going to love that. And I'm going to show up like that. That understanding brings a different energy of manifestation in how we engage with ourselves and how we engage in the world. Now, when we have that kind of understanding for ourselves, that is naturally going to be the way we engage with others. So when our partner, our mother, our children, our sibling, our friend, an auntie or grandmother or grandchildren say something, we will think, wow, this is really out of character for them. They must have had a really long day. Let me breathe. Because maybe they said something that hurt us. Let me breathe and let me just give them the space. Or if depending on the kind of relationship we have, let me ask them, what's going on? This is not like you. And because we have this understanding for ourselves, we can notice how we might be responding to that. And we offer something different. We don't go to reaction. We don't go to anger or impatience, just like we would do with ourselves when we hear things and we turn that reflection on ourselves in a negative way. We offer the same thing to others. You know, or it can be, you know, you're not acting the way I know you. I don't think I understand what's going on. Can you let me know what's going on? So it's not this, you know, it's not this perfect understanding like, oh, I know this person in and out. I know their history. I know, you know, all their imprints. I know exactly what makes them do this. I know why they do this. No, it's not this kind of knowing of a theoretical nature or this knowing of a set of facts. It's a knowing of, I know this person, just like ourselves. I know myself to be this kind, loving being. I know that of me. I know that's who I am. When I act in this way, I know something else is up. And I know I want to look into it. I want to befriend it. Hello, my anger. I see you. I got you. Can't take your carry right now. Got some stuff going on. And we're going to come back at a time when there's more spaciousness. Right? And so that knowing, it's a very different kind of knowing. It's not this like, you know, I know you turned left or right. It's not that kind of knowing. It's this kind of Buddha nature knowing, this deeper knowing. We know that humanity comes from a space of heart. And so we know when people act in certain ways, they are not acting out of a Buddha nature self. They are acting out of a separate self, a self that doesn't understand the interbeing nature of who we are. And that is for us where we open up. That's for ourselves where if we have been doing this understanding of ourselves, we recognize it in the others around us. And so the knowing of each other, that kind of understanding is that's the love. That's why when you understand someone, it's hard to not love them. Even when they're acting in these ways that are narrow or hurtful or harming. Yeah? And I mean, you know, these deep things, right? So we could say family and friends, and we can like, yeah, okay, I get that. I can try and understand more. Last night I was looking with my mom at a B.B. King history, The Life of Riley. It's a documentary on the life of B.B. King and tracing his birth as the son of a sharecropper, and the history when he went to Lexington, Mississippi, and met with the Klan, and I don't mean meet with let's have tea either. I mean met with the brutality and the hatred of white supremacy in person. And I was thinking, how do you love that? Yeah. How do you still hold that heart open for that? You know, when they show all these white hooded people and the little children, yeah, the nurturing of that hatred. And my mom said, how can people hate like that? Like what is in their heart? And so that is the asking that we want to understand. How can people hate like that? So it's the behavior, right? It's what is it that engages that hatred? What is it that engages that aspect of a human being? And how do we still have space in our hearts to know that in the root of their humanity, they are really still connected to us? It's a very, very deep teaching, this love and understanding. What it does is it allows us to, as Dr. King said, not to hate our enemies, and to know that the enemies are the behaviors and not the people. Right? What is it that elicits that hatred in people? What is it that moves us away from loving, from understanding each other? When do we place a wall where we don't want to understand anymore something about someone else? Because once we do that, then it's easy to not love. It's very easy to just continue into that kind of non-understanding path, and then all the other emotions grow, impatience, hatred, and we go into war and etc., right? And so that's a real, real practical example, you know, when we think about these people, like current day behaviors like Donald Trump. Like, how do you reconcile the humanity of a Donald Trump and the behavior of inhumanity of a Donald Trump? And then how do we, then there's this other aspect of loving but not liking. Yeah. I know I myself have said, I love them, but I don't like them. So I can love someone as a human being, knowing that there is still this root that's connected to me. And I can still not like being around them because of the way they behave. I prefer not to be around people who behave in a certain way, because the way they're behaving is coming from that part of them that hasn't been healed, that has this deep pain, that has evolved into hatred. And so that behavior is something that's really difficult to be around. And so only when I'm able and have the spaciousness to be able to buffer that, can I be around that? And so this understanding and loving, it requires, that's why it's so important of the loving ourselves first. It really requires that we know ourselves, we know what our limits are, right? We know when it's time to say, right now, this is really painful. I can't really be with this. I need a time out for myself. Right now, I need my space. You know, this kind of, when we get angry, we don't speak. That's kind of anger, the sign of like, I'm moving into anger right now. Okay, this is my time to say, I don't need to be here doing this right now. I need to walk and take care of myself, so I can look into this anger. I can re-engage at a time when I'm not engaging from anger. The words we speak might be the same, but it's not coming from a space of anger. It's coming from a space of understanding. And so we are loving that person because we've taken the time to understand ourselves. This is landing in me like this. I'm getting really activated. I gotta like really like take a walk. I gotta breathe. Gotta go eat some ice cream. Gotta go run. Gotta walk. What, you know what I mean? Like, we all have our things that starts to like, for ourselves in that moment, feels like I'm taking care of me right now. Taking care of me right now. Okay. This is what's going on for me right now. I'm breathing through it. Okay. And that process may take a while, may take 10 minutes, an hour, 10 days, 10 months, 10 years. Our healing process is not an overnight process. And that whole process is this process of understanding ourselves. It's this continuous loving on ourselves, of transformation. At the core, right? That's the deepest wisdom in Buddhism, is transformation at the base. How do we do that? And as we do that, we have more and more understanding for others. Because, see, we can't do outside of us anything more than we do inside. So when we start to have this kind of deep, deep understanding for ourselves, this deep love for ourselves, out of that understanding, out of that kindness, out of that joy for ourselves, then it automatically is going to be what comes out of us in our engagement. to others. And it's step by step, right? Doesn't happen overnight, doesn't happen after we sign off here this evening. So I am going to stop there. I know this is a lot, and I know it's hard stuff. And yet, our liberation path is nothing more than the path of discovering how to deeply love ourselves and to deeply love others, to drop the fears and anxiety around loving everything of who we are, and then being able to offer that same kind of love to others. It's a beautiful path. So I'll invite a sound of the bell for us to go back to our breath, back to our body.